I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah, no worries. You can swear, say whatever the fuck you want. So fun like that. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another fun-filled, exciting edition of Battle of the Sexes. This is Round 9, Battle of the Baby Makers. And today, our guests are Ida Rodriguez and Tyler Bowe. Oh, I actually have this button. I have trouble multitasking it.
How sincere. Electronic applause. Oh.
Now that I can
just,
do both.
That just felt forced.
It was a little bit. Hey, if you guys are listening live, you can call 1-800-893-9562 to talk to our funny guests. Both are parents. Both are responsible adults.
Don't keep saying that so much. I always tell my daughter, don't call me that in public. She's like, Mommy.
We're sisters.
Like, I know.
Nikki's actually out today. She's not feeling too well, so I'm going to be doing this.
Did she get sick from using the pussy juice?
I have no idea.
What?
The sponsor of the show before is Blame It on Ginger. Yeah. Well, not the sponsor. One of the guests has a pussy juice.
So it's a
of course.
Lube, but it's a lube made out of actual people's
what?
Vaginal juice.
Okay.
And I want to know who's going to rub another woman's pussy juice on her pussy. So if you are one of those people, please call in. I want to talk to you. I want to know.
That can't possibly be real.
I don't want to believe
that it is real.
When they started to go into the conversation of what it was, I was dipping out to take care of.
Oh, got it.
I was like, they're like, oh, Dave's going to masturbate. I'm like, no, I got to do other stuff. Like, I would stay here with my hands above the table so you guys know that I'm not doing anything inappropriate, but I have to go.
I know you did. I have to go too.
Oh, that's in like 52 minutes. You'll be able to. No, anyways, you guys. You have a sister, apparently. Is it a son or daughter?
I have a son. I have an 18-month-old.
Oh.
That's a year and a half if you're not using a month-based math system.
So sweet. That's when they're so sweet.
Oh, yeah. No, it's perfect because he can, like, give hugs and he's sweet, but he
doesn't talk back.
He does. Yeah, he doesn't have enough words yet to be talking back.
Oh, he's adorable. He is so cute.
Yeah, he looks...
And I can be honest and say it. Like, he's really cute. Because, you know, some people have ugly kids and you're like, he's so healthy.
I didn't know that was, like, actually a thing until recently when I started seeing, like, some of my friends have Facebook posts. They're like, look at her child. I go, oh.
Oh, man. The other day I was showing my friend's picture of his kid to one of my friends. And she's like... Man, he already looks like a man, and it was a girl.
Look at that jawline. He's got such bold features.
People are like, we don't want to give her child like gender stereotypes. No, do that because that protects everyone from making a mistake like
Sometimes
that.
Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we
no,
need
my cousin
help.
Did that. He had a kid, and they did like they had to sleep deprive the child, so it was like tired when they were taking pictures.
What?
So like, so now we can like make it look.
Oh, so it was sleepy.
I'm like, what the?
Here's the thing. There's ugly people.
That's
there's
right.
There's bound to be ugly babies.
They come You're from right. somewhere.
Exactly.
Oh.
But I think most parents think their babies are cute in the same way that pug owners think their dogs are cute.
I've been liking pit bulls a lot lately. Like, I've never been, I've always liked labs and like bigger dogs, but lately, like, every pit bull I've met has just been the nicest dog ever. I have no idea why.
I think it depends on the dog specifically and the owner. My brother has one and my sister has two. And I have a Maltese. I have a 7-pound little white fluff ball.
Odd man out.
It goes perfectly with the baby.
It does. I'm surrounded by cuteness. I'm pretty much drowning in it on a daily basis.
So for people to tune in, they just go to skidrowstudios.com.
That's the one. And a call in, 1-800-893-9562.
Got it.
It's not just a clever name either, you guys. We are, in fact, on Skid Row.
Absolutely.
Almost. Almost there. One of my buddies actually had a restaurant right by here. He goes, oh, well, I'll show you where Skid Row is. I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. It's like, no, come on. Like, the food industry is, like, all right next to it.
So yeah. We're, like, a couple, we're close. We're like within
spitting distance.
We're in skidding distance. We're like sliding. We're sliding right over to Skid Row.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
My point is, it's filthy down here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you even telling me about the new urine coming in every
no,
day?
No, that's the thing I love about downtown Los Angeles. A lot of cities will not freshen the urine on the sidewalk daily. So you smell a lot of stale urine, but not in Los Angeles. Fresh daily. You never smell day-old piss here. It is still wet on the sidewalk.
That's so funny.
That's not water you slip in. You know, there's really comes down to
a very like upwardly mobile community of like TV executives that live downtown, that live in the lofts, like at the Apex,
and it's getting nicer. Like they're trying to.
In a couple of years, they're gonna get rid of all of those homeless people, and they're gonna be in the valley with us.
Oh yeah.
Yep. They're already starting to shove them that way.
Like, first they're like, no, let's not put them on the beaches because we want to visit there. Let's just put them in the 110 degree weather. It was 102 degrees yesterday at like noon.
Yeah. I live in Burbank. They say it's always hotter in the valley.
Yeah.
It was 107 the other day.
I live in Glendale. It was just bad.
I know. I think once it gets into the three digits, you should legally be allowed to not wear pants. You know what I mean? Like no pants. And I don't mean shorts. I mean no pants. Nothing on the bottom. Should be legal.
Yeah, nice little air things out. Get to see everyone. Know them a little better. That's just...
It's only fair.
I
And again, this is Battle of the Baby Makers, and we're talking about walking around...
We've made babies, pantsless. Both of us. I didn't do much. You probably did. You were probably a lot more involved in the baby making process.
I know. That's why I'm so much more like angry about it. My daughter told me she hated me, and I'm like, I let you live in my rib cage for 9 months, dude.
My contribution to the baby actual creation process, it's like if you set up like 2,000 dominoes, I just like knocked over the first one, and then I was like, hey, Miranda, my wife, you could take it from here.
I just knocked
over the first one and then watched. And
have fun, so, sweetheart.
She said, thanks. How were you in there when she had the baby?
I was in there.
And what did she say? How mean did she get?
My wife's sweet, but she does have a little bit of a mouth on her. So there were some expletives thrown out there. She kind of got into this meditative phase where she was staring at, there was this little poster, you know, those like, I don't know if it was like Anne Geddes or something like that. It was a picture of these little baby feet being held in a pair of hands. Like, you know, these like cute little baby feet.
Right.
And she just got like super focused on these baby feet.
Gets you in the right mindset.
Yeah. I think she just needed like a point of focus. And there was a moment where she was just like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Baby feet. Oh, fuck. And, you know, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. She was a champ, though.
If she had the baby, she had to be a champ. I mean, you know how hard it is to have a baby. It's like you want to die. You guys, if you had a contraction, you would have a heart attack and die. It's no joke. It's like it's pain you can't explain. I stood up straight in the delivery table. I stopped breathing.
She's like, I pledge allegiance to the flag, just, ma'am.
It was
ma'am.
So much pain. I stopped breathing. They had to put an oxygen mask on me because I just couldn't take the pain. It was so painful. It was like, oh my gosh, I've never.
I love, it's so nice to hear you say that. Like, not that I would want you to be in pain, but the women that are like, it wasn't even that bad. It was
They're liars.
A good pain. She's like, it hurt.
They're drugged up
beyond belief at that point.
No, yeah. Or they were drugged up. Yeah, or they try to, you know, there's this group of women out there that want to be the champions of labor. Oh, It was nothing.
It's a contest?
It's a lie. You know, because they're the ones that judge you when you go to work and you don't have time to go to mommy and me classes with your kids because you have to work to feed them. So it's just so weird. Like, it hurts. It hurts really bad.
You know what hurts me emotionally? Mommy and me classes.
Absolutely.
Because I'm a daytime daddy, and I get that it's alliterative. I like that people are like, oh, mommy and me. It rolls off the tongue nicely. But you know what? What about
daddy.
Me and daddy?
Daddy and my dude.
I just started taking my son to swimming lessons, and they're like, are you here for the mommy and me? I'm like... Hey, that hurts.
They're disrespectful to the dad.
It is. I know parents and
they
me.
Probably stare at you like, why are you here? Why aren't you out right now? It's not very nice.
No. I'm That's all right, though. It could be mommy and me, and I'll just be there.
Like, I'm going to get over it. I'll get over it eventually.
Yeah. I'm not that sensitive. I'll be all right.
You can't be. You're a comic, right?
Nah.
No, you're not a comic?
No, I am a comic. I'm not that sensitive.
You can't be.
Yeah.
Especially with that mob of women. Like, they have this group called the Mocha Moms.
Mocha?
About to piss people off. Yeah. It's a group of moms that stay at home moms, and they're mocha colored. And I went to a meeting, and then not to say that they were all going to be that way, but there was a group of them that was like, that one of them was like, you have a job, who takes care of your daughter when you go to work? And I'm like, her teacher, you know, like
when she's at school, where she's supposed to be.
Yeah. And they were like, well, does she go to an after school program? I'm like, we don't do after school programs. We are the after school programs. And I'm like, bitch, you have a job and a husband. You don't have a job. You have a husband that has a good job. And your job is to bake cakes and brownies. I'm a single mom. I'm like, I don't have that luxury. Don't you dare. I turned the Mocha Mom meeting out. And they never invited me back.
Why not?
Because they were snobs. And I'm not saying the entire group is like that. They were on Oprah one day, so... Let me not mess with them because they might shut me down. But it was just really weird to be in the presence of women who were just so hard on other women for not being...
The way they are.
Yeah, it was just like, that's all we need.
Not my thing.
Yeah, there is... I see a lot of that with women, like the competitive aspect.
Yeah.
And like, whether it's the birth or the... breastfeeding or like Pinterest stuff, and like
that stuff is addicting. Pinterest,
they look down on women who don't.
There's a lot of fun shit on there.
Breastfeed.
Oh really?
Yeah, he's on it.
There's like breastfeeding Nazis, man. Like when my son was first born, he was like 7 and change, and then he didn't take to breastfeeding right off the bat, and a lot of babies don't. But we didn't know that. This is the thing. My wife and I didn't know how. Because we took we took parenting classes beforehand, and like these infant care classes, we try to like get ready, and then they covered all this stuff. The one thing they didn't tell you is that like they didn't talk about how a lot of babies it takes them like a little bit of time to figure it out, and the moms too, because it's not easy. And anyway, he didn't figure it out for like the first 2 days, so he wasn't really eating, so he's losing all this weight. And then these nurses are coming in around the clock. They're going, "Oh, your baby's losing weight." And I'm freaking out, you know? Like, they're like, right. Why is your baby losing weight? Why isn't he breastfeeding? I'm like, I don't know. He's a day old. Give him a second to figure it out. You know? And I'm like, it's like 24 hours in. I'm already feeling like a horrible parent. But then he figured it out. And he's is thriving now. He's like this little tank. And I want to bring him back to the hospital and find those nurses that were busting. Yeah. Be like, look at my fat baby. Look at him.
This is what the breast milk does to this
look
child.
Look at these rolls. I'm a
Some
good parent.
Some kids don't latch on.
Yeah,
it's an issue. Like some kids never latch on. That's just they're not, you know. And can you blame the mom? Can you blame the parents?
No.
They don't latch on.
It's an instinct. You either. I don't know.
And who knows what that bitch has been eating and drinking for the last 9 months? Maybe he doesn't want some of your bourbon.
Like, I've had enough of this for the last 9 months. I want a different flavor.
I'm gonna go on the record to say my wife was not drinking bourbon during the pregnancy.
Good, I like it. I like it.
You're just like, I'm not gonna say anything about my 9 months.
Well, I was very healthy. I was very, very healthy when I was pregnant. So, and I'm pretty much eat pretty clean, and I had I'm not a drinker and I don't smoke weed and stuff like that anyway, so pregnancy wasn't like, my life is over. But I just think that some kids just don't want to suck your titty. They just don't want to suck your titty. Maybe your titty doesn't taste good. That's why you don't have a man. There's a lot of reasons why the baby has a choice and he doesn't want to suck your titty. So don't get over it and get him some good milk and keep it pushing.
That's kind of
You know, and I feel so much relief sitting here with two guys, because the mom pressure sometimes could be so much. Like this generation of proud, you know, and I'm
the research on their kid. They know everything because they've read every Dr. Spock book and all that shit.
The pregnancy book, I looked at the first few pages and I was like, I'm not reading that whole book. I'm reading the Confederacy of Dunces. I can't read this. Ignatius will help me figure this out. I wasn't reading that whole book. It was so boring and technical and scary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot out of it, probably, like, just with all the technical shit. My mom, she's just like, she goes, I stopped talking about other people's kids once I realized my children are assholes.
Oh, I love your mom.
She goes, I don't know what you idiots are doing when I'm not around, so I'm not going to say shit about other people's kids because you two fuck up.
Yeah.
I love your mom.
We might have cut one of our babysitter's hairs.
What?
That's awesome.
She was our babysitter. We had the longest. Like every other babysitter, my brother and I scared off, except for the one that we actually cut her hair, like when she started babysitting us.
They were like, we're going to break this bitch.
We would lock them out of the house, kind of like one of us would go outside. We'd lock all the doors except for that one, and then we'd have them come back in. Ugh. We weren't good kids.
Oh, that's, I don't think that makes you a bad kid. I just mean, that means you're alive.
It means you're creative.
I had fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, my brother used to also make bets with our one babysitter, was our neighbor. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, you know, if I beat you at pool, you let us stay up an extra hour before mom and dad get home. And somehow he always won. So I was just like, all right, you just.
They were playing pool.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a babysitter that taught me how to play blackjack. So he still.
Oh, wow. Love it.
Yeah.
I wasn't fortunate enough to have a babysitter. My parents are so traditional Latin and paranoid. They thought everybody was going to molest us. So we never had a babysitter. And we never, I never participated in a sleepover. Because she was like, no, you're not going to get fondled.
And you're from Boston, right?
Well, I was born in Boston. My family's from Boston, but I grew up in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was this paranoia of molestation. And I was like, I must do some research on my family.
Like, why are you guys so paranoid about other people? Like,
they were very paranoid. So we never had a babysitter.
Oh, wow.
But I'll tell you about the quiet kids. You know, I lived across the street from a guy named Jaime, and I will say, he's the quietest kid I ever met, and I knew he was going to be a serial killer. Like, he set his house on fire because their parents had a picture of Jesus in the house, and he said that everywhere he went, Jesus was looking at him. So he set the picture on fire and then set the whole house on fire. So, but that was the quietest...
You know what?
...kid I knew.
Jesus saw that.
I know. No, but he was the kid that everybody
last
was
thing
like
you saw, but yeah.
Yeah, no, but you know that kid that everybody said, oh, he's so quiet, he's so well behaved. Yeah,
kept mostly to himself.
Yeah.
Jesus,
that's definitely
fire.
An early warning sign. Any kind of fire or like abusing of like pets and stuff. That's
a bad sign. We used to
You watched
those
Dexter,
kids.
Didn't you?
Oh, I've watched Dexter, CSI, Criminal Minds, way too much stuff. My wife is so into that sometimes. I'm like, are you enjoying this or is this research? Trying to figure out how to get away with something? I'm scared of her.
I love Lila.
Oh.
I watched Dexter.
I like Dexter. That was a good show. The end of it, I'm kind of indifferent about, but I like the whole
beginning.
Yeah, like it kind of picked up in the last couple seasons. There's that little
John Litko.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, he revolutionized the show. You forgot about Dexter. You're like, this man is so good.
You're like, he's learning from him. Shit, he's like, I can do a family. I can do this. Like,
What's funny is when you get an actor and they get stuck in a certain role in your mind.
Yeah.
And John Lithgow, for some reason, for me, Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, yeah.
Always get that stuck. And I'm like, he's a killer. It's Harry's. I can't remember his name.
His name?
Mr. Henderson. Whatever.
Yeah, I think it might have been Mr. Henderson.
Well, obviously, Harry and the Hendersons, but I don't know what
it was.
Oh, they're
talking about in Dexter.
Oh, was it?
Maybe.
That would have been a weird, like,
callback.
Something like
yeah.
That. No, but yeah. I always look at him as, like, the dad from Harry and the Hendersons. No, he's a killer.
He's so diverse. You know, like, he was in, what, Third Rock from the Sun?
He was also in, like, some... thriller movie back in like the 70s or 80s, like Raising Kane or something like that.
He's played some gnarly bad guys for sure.
Yeah, even in like Ricochet with Denzel Washington, he was the bad guy. He broke into his house with his kids and then you'll see him be really funny, you know, like
he's hilarious.
I love him.
I don't trust this guy by like outside of the situation because he's so good doing this shit. You're like,
he's always the smart, creepy bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of Tom Hanks' kid in that?
He was good.
Yeah.
I liked him
in
that.
It's too bad that he's a great actor and I still don't know his name and will probably always refer to him as Tom Hanks.
Oh, it was. He did it. What was the movie he did? The other movie he did? He just recently.
Get Over It? Oh, no. That was a long time ago with Cisco.
Oh, it was You Got Served, the third one, right? Where he is in the dance crew.
He's in Mad Men.
No. He gets real street in that. And he does a lot of crumping. It was a big role for him. It really stepped outside of his box.
He said, you got served three.
You got served three, still getting served.
I'm still getting. Oh, you know, my friend worked on that movie. I'm texting her when I leave here.
Is there really a third one?
No, but
you know what my favorite franchise is as far as titles is I Know What You Did Last Summer. Then they made a second. I still know what you did last summer.
They had a third,
summer.
Didn't they?
And they had a third one. It was, what was it called? It was something like, I'll Always Know. I just want them to keep going and like a couple more movies down the franchise. Be like,
don't worry, I didn't forget yet what you did several summers ago.
Oh, hey, does anyone remember what happened about 8 summers ago? I still do. Like, just keep going. Like, hey, what were we all so worked up about 10 summers ago? Oh, that's right.
He won't let us forget. We're good.
I'm looking them up now.
And just wondering how, like, all of them are dead, but they still are being caught with a secret from, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like the Scream movies.
You know what? People would get mad at me because, like, which one was the one where the Screech was in? Ulrich?
Skeet Ulrich?
Skeet. I can't fuck everybody's name.
Scream.
But which one? He wasn't in... Remember when he and the other guy, not David Michael, what's his name? Not Michael Allen Hall, I forget his name.
Oh, David Arquette?
No. The other killer. And that shit was a comedy to me. So I'm in the movie theater laughing the whole movie. And everybody's like, she's an asshole. Because everybody's like, oh, I'm like, this shit is funny.
Oh, Nev Campbell.
Scream was a comedy.
Yes, no. Yeah. It was kind of campy a little bit.
Yeah, it was.
I remember watching. Like,
I'll be right back. And then,
no, you remember Drew Barrymore? She was like, "Look, asshole." He's like, "No, you look, bitch."
Yeah.
You hang up on me one more time, I'll cut you like a fish. And I was like, and I'm in the theater laughing. Yeah.
They always get that killer music.
Don't stop.
Oh, we're gonna keep doing the boom.
I'm in the movie theater laughing during that. So I'm not a good person to go to the movies with. Even with when I saw Sling Blade and Dwight Yoakam.
I still haven't seen that
beat
movie.
The paraplegic up. I was in the theater laughing.
I haven't even seen that movie, but
I haven't seen it, but that just is wrong but funny at the same time.
Oh my gosh. Dwight Yoakam was hilarious.
Have you ever walked out of a movie theater?
Absolutely.
Yes. What were you?
Pootie Tang.
Hootie Tang.
Yes. Oh, I couldn't. I didn't even make it through half of the movie. I got up and walked out.
Because it was so emotional, you got choked up. And you just couldn't handle it.
Did you see Pootie Tang?
I did not see Pootie Tang.
So I think you had to see.
I saw maybe 5 minutes of it.
See, I didn't read the book before, so I didn't want to be lost.
It was hilarious. But to that point, I think you had to be a viewer of the Chris Rock show.
Yeah.
To understand what that was. Yeah. And I just could. I was like, "What the hell is going on? What are they doing?"
How many movies have been made where I don't? Was that a sketch before? That wasn't a sketch.
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
and that's why I didn't get it.
How many movies like SNL movies and stuff where there's like that? You know, there's like a producers meeting and
they have a ton of them.
Someone's pitching it and going, "Hey, it's a sketch, but we want to turn it into a 2-hour feature length film."
They're trying to do that with Franz and Hans. Yeah. Like half their sketches that make it big.
Yeah, and then. And then a room full of moneyed people are like, yeah, that'll totally work this time.
Like, they worked so well in the 90s. Like, The Ladies' Man did awesome.
That actually...
I thought it was funny,
the sketch-turn movies that I would be fully behind. I thought that movie was funny.
Blues Brothers.
Like, but then there's been so many, like, what was the Night at the Roxbury? Like, you're going to take... and trying to turn that into 2 hours?
Yeah, that's not.
That's just a stretch right there. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, you're also an award-winning vocalist?
I was in a college a cappella group at the University of Oregon, and I did some...
you got to give us some. You can't just say that and not... Come on, Pitch Perfect. Give us something.
Uh-oh. No. Anyway. Yeah, yeah,
it's an Instagram post. It was 15 seconds.
Oh,
that was a nice little didgeridoo at the end. That was fantastic.
Yeah. No, I had fun. I sing okay. I can carry a tune, but really what I did mostly in the group was vocal percussion. So I was the rhythm section. So as far, like, people think the first tenor or singing solo, I think, is the hardest job in the a cappella group. I think I had the hardest job because my group wasn't incredibly diverse. So I was basically... had to keep 10 other white guys in rhythm.
That's a job.
But
I won a couple awards for vocal percussion and stuff.
Nice.
Through ICCAs and stuff. So it's fun. What's funny is sometimes people Google me for comedy and then they'll pop, they're like, oh, apparently you were.
College a cappella group.
Yeah.
This guy just tweeted, said, whoever the hell did that beatboxing just now could give that police academy guy a run for his money.
Uh-oh.
That's James.
Come out with your hands up.
I don't know, really do a lot of sound effects. But yeah, no, I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah, a cappella was fun.
What was the name of the group you did?
My group was called On the Rocks, and actually University of Oregon, On the Rocks.
I think I've actually heard of that before.
Well, the group was on, if anybody watched The Sing-Off on NBC, the group that I was in, obviously, as guys graduated out, we brought new guys in. Yeah. But I was in the first...
rendition?
Yeah, the first generation of the group. So the group started with a couple of guys. I got in on the ground floor with, it was about 8 guys, or 10 guys, I think, our first year. But it's continued on, so it's still going at U of O. And the group that was... on the NBC Sing-Off, they did really well. I think they were like the third or fourth group to get.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Second to last.
Look, that's part of my legacy.
Wow. So look, we're getting hot on Twitter. So it seems like the producers of the show Hollywood Exes and Atlanta Exes on VH1 are listening to the podcast.
All right.
Nice.
Everybody tune Atlanta. In to Atlanta Exes on Tuesdays. Kevin Hart's ex-wife is on that show.
Uh-oh.
So they know what contractions are, and they know about breastfeeding. They also have nannies.
Are they mocha mamas?
I don't know if they're mocha mamas, but I hope not. Cause
you kind of.
I want one of the mocha mamas to be so hood that she says mocha.
They don't. They're the most.
They're like.
She just
put her pinky up. You couldn't see it on the podcast. But
I didn't fit in.
Is bougie still an acceptable word?
That's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's become so, you know, now it's an insult, but I think it's just an observation. Like some people just a little bit more, you know, I never had a cotillion. I'm not mad at you if you did, you know, or was in a cotillion.
I don't know what a cotillion is.
But I know what it is. I've never been to one. I don't know anyone that's had one. I think you have to be in the South.
Oh, I do know what that is.
Isn't like a
for the debutantes.
Yeah,
they come out.
Introduction to society, kind of like, hey, she's legal now.
Have you been to a cotillion?
No, my pregnancy was my coming out.
Okay.
That's how I came out and showed the world that I was a woman, even though I wasn't.
I'm having a child. All right, you guys.
I've never been to a cotillion. Man, I got to put that on the list because I was thinking the other day about...
Like, you go to a cotillion now, you're going to get arrested.
Yeah.
Oh, word?
Yeah, that's for young girls. What are you doing?
Okay, is that like a quinceañera?
The coming out for
it. I could go as a family member. I'm just saying that sounds like a fun kind of party. Like, I've been to like a fiesta. I've been to a party. I've been to a shindig.
Shindigs are
I've
fun.
Never been to a soiree. I want to go to one of those.
I have been to a soiree.
Really? What do you wear to a soiree?
Nice stuff.
Like you got to wear like a black guy Kangol hat. To go to a soiree, I think.
Have you been to a soiree?
No, I'm not cool enough to go to soirees. I stopped getting invited to parties when I had the baby.
Yeah.
So I missed out on a big chunk of things that most people did because I was young when I had my baby. So I didn't really get to do a lot of stuff. But I've never been invited to a soiree. I'm trying to make it in Hollywood so I can get invited to a soiree.
They're the place to be, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll fit in, though.
You will.
Mm.
Don't worry. We're going to do our first challenge is the, and actually Tyler kind of won the secret one when he showed you a picture of his child.
Oh.
We do a secret challenge. And then the first one is like, oh, here.
First one to show a picture.
Somebody just.
It was a wallet picture. It was either the phone picture. I was like, all right, let's
You know why that is? I have the younger kid, which means I'm quicker to show the picture.
It's like, look what I did.
Yeah. it's still fresh. Does anyone carry wallet photos anymore?
No, that's what I was wondering when he's like, all right, first one to show wallet pictures. I'm like,
I want to go old school and get some.
You should. Some of those little ones like photos.
I think I have a photo.
Well, I took pictures with my daughter today because I have a joke about how she sits in the back seat to punish me. And I feel like I'm Morgan Freeman driving Miss Daisy. And people don't believe me. And I'm like, she's so cute. You guys look like you're, was that prom?
I got it. Was that prom? No.
It was a cotillion.
It was a cotillion. It was a gala event.
You guys look so young there, though.
I got an actual physical photo of me and my wife in my wallet here.
That's dope. When did she put it in there?
She got me the wallet, but I put the photo in. I need to get a little picture of my son and stick it in there.
I don't think people believe me, so I don't have a visual. No, see,
when I was a kid, me and my brother always fought for who would sit in the front seat.
She did. Well, she wasn't old enough, so now that she's old enough, that's her way of punishing me.
Let me see this little.
Because she's vindictive.
Let me see this little moquette.
All right, Nikki's about to. You see Nikki, are you there?
The moquette.
See, I can't even comment on that because she's too old. Like, if I was like, she's darling, then.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to say? Like,
hey, you guys, Nikki is actually calling in right now.
Nikki!
Hi guys, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I wanted to be responsible. Since you both have kids, that was the point of the show. I was like, I can't get them sick and then get their whole family sick.
Oh, man, I wish you would have come in. I'd love to get my daughter sick.
I appreciate it.
I was like, I don't want to get my son sick yet.
Unless you have, if you have chicken pox, then come on in. I gotta get that kid pocked out.
That's hilarious. And that was what was funny is when I had chicken pox when I was 5, it's because my mom made me go play with the neighbor's kid who had it.
I know, they do that now.
Shoot, except I had a bad case. I had them like in my throat and on my feet, and my mom felt bad.
Those are so annoying. You had to take the oatmeal bath and all that shit.
I don't remember.
I see calamine lotion now, and I have an aversion to it.
It reminds you of that. Nikki, you want to help me judge the first challenge?
Yeah, I had to call in. You guys are talking about soirees and quinceañeras. I felt left out.
I know, the soirees.
Did you have a quinceañera?
I don't have kids, and I don't get invited to soirees or parties, so it don't matter.
No, I'm not cool.
Yes, let's do this first challenge.
TV shows, and I don't even get invited to the rap party.
What?
Like, wait till she leaves so we can talk about the rap party.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
All right, you guys, the first challenge is actually the birds and the bees talk.
Mm.
So I'm assuming you might have already had a chance to give this. You might have a head start on that
one
already.
You damn well better have.
I did it at 6. Preventative measure.
Yeah.
Did it at 6 and a reminder at 12.
Did you really at 6?
No.
Okay, no. 10?
He's like, wait, what age do I need to teach my son about it?
I started talking to her about it. Maybe 11, 11, 12. Yeah, the puberty. Because now they start puberty so much younger.
Man, it's
hormones
crazy.
In the chicken.
You have to talk to your kids about sex before middle school. Because kids in middle school are having sex. And if you don't want your kid to be one of them, you better tell them they're going to get herpes that they have 6 when they're 9. It's really bad.
My mom's sex talk was no means no, maybe means no, and yes means ask again.
Oh, nice.
There
That's
you
what
go.
You tell
I
your
like
boys.
That
was all it was.
My sex talk was you do it and we ain't paying for college and you're going to lose your college scholarship. So sorry, baby.
It's up front.
I figured out basically what I'm going to say to my son when he gets old enough. I'm going to just say, like, listen, sex is it's something that should be shared between two adults that love each other and care mm-hmm. about each other. And if you do it before you turn 18, your dick will fall off.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because there's these enzymes and these hormones that interact. And I don't know if you know this, but when you turn 18, these enzymes and hormones kind of kick off. But beforehand, if you combine them with a girl, your dick will just fall off. And
that's a good one.
And I'll lie. I'll just be like, I know a guy. I have a friend, and he did it, and his dick fell off. And I feel bad. He'll never have kids.
He's dickless.
And I don't want that for you, son. So just...
He's got to use a hose to go to the bathroom now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I love Tyler's because he threw in some kind of sort of medical innuendo, so it would seem somewhat logical.
You mean I layered in more lies.
Is it that?
Exactly.
But that works, though. You have to as a parent.
I like you. I'm going to write that down, Dave. I like that. No, seriously. No means no, maybe means no, and yes means ask again.
Yeah, it made the first time real awkward.
You have to tell your son.
I was just like, You said yes? Well, are you sure you want to say yes?
You have to tell
your son. Like 100%.
I'm going to tell him, get it in writing. Get it in writing.
I just know I applied for a sales job a couple years ago, and they're just like, no, every no is just a no. You haven't turned into a yes yet. I'm like, that is way counterproductive to what I was told when I was growing up. So you know, what was your talk then?
Well, the weird, you know, sex wasn't, the masturbation talk was worse for me. It was more uncomfortable.
Never had that. Don't ever want to have that one.
You have to have a masturbation talk with your kids if you don't want your kids to live in shame. Because masturbation is something that's natural and that all people do. But you have to set the ground rules, right? Like it, you know, you can't just, it's not something you do around other people. It's something you do privately. You know, there's nothing wrong with you because you feel this way. This is normal. Everybody feels this way. And this is something that all people do. It's just something private between you and you. And you gotta, you have to talk to your, my mom never, like my mom sent me off into the world.
Who are you
go have
to not want your daughter to live in shame?
I know.
We should all live in shame of our dirty, filthy lives.
Oh, my God.
It's such a hard talk to do.
No, that's good, though.
It's so hard. And, you know, with sex, it's like, it's the same thing. It's, you notice that he said it. Like, I think more balanced parents will let their children know that sex is something that adults do. And which there's this new way, like I have a lot of friends whose daughters are sexually active and they think, oh, it's their body and every, you know, that whole virginity religious thing. That's nothing to do with religion. I told my daughter, like, when herpes is the gift that keeps on giving. Once you get it, you can't give it back. HIV is also permanent. Yeah. You know, these are consequences of irresponsibly having sex. And this is something that I have to worry about as a grown-up. So you are trying to keep your GPA up. So tell me where it fits in your life to keep yourself disease-free, pregnancy-free, and without the emotional baggage that comes with being sexually active with somebody when you're not ready.
Right.
You know, like, and then I said, you want to, the biggest deterrent in my house is, you want to turn out like me? That'll keep anybody from having sex in my house.
I want to be honest. I like the lies, but I like the honesty too.
My sex talk for my dad was one of those, like, we're like washing the car, right? And then just out of nowhere, he kind of goes, "Hey, you know, if you're gonna have sex, use a condom, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And he's like, "Cool."
All he needed to know.
See, my dad never. None of that. My mom, like, later, she gave me condoms when I was 25 for Christmas. She goes, "Dave, just don't trust a girl having her own stash." All right.
I think
my parents were first and last kisses. They were high school sweethearts. They didn't give me the sex talk. I didn't have anything. Dave, this is probably why I'm so ashamed of masturbation and don't have a vibrator, because I didn't get the
You've been given
talk.
Two by Ginger.
I know that I don't know how to use, and I'm not willing to use them because I'm scared to.
I wouldn't touch anything that Ginger had touched.
She did touch the pussy juice earlier. That was when I...
Oh, my God.
I don't even know her.
She was applying it.
See, Tyler, I'm a very scientific person, too, okay? That's electric. They're going into something wet. That doesn't sound like it combines well.
Waterproofing. Yeah. I almost called her Ginger.
Oh, my God.
All right, so, yeah, we also... So, who do you think won that one, Nikki?
I don't know. It's between lies and honesty. So
I like
know.
The honesty to be.
To be honest,
I think I like the. Yeah, you know what? I like the lies too, or I mean the honesty too, because my mom would tell me, "Don't end up like me." So yeah, I think Ada gets this one challenge.
So we got a tie right now. Tyler was the first one to whip out a picture of his kid.
Could you come over Can I call you when my son gets a little older? Can you come give him a talk?
Absolutely.
Because you got it down.
I talk to everybody's kids. All my friends always, yeah. Anytime anybody has an issue with their kid, they always
send them over to Ada.
I mean, I know they do like sex ed and stuff in school, but I've never heard of like someone new, like a friend being over, like, "Hey, come talk to my kid."
All the time. Oh, my friends.
Awkward.
You know what? It's I'm Auntie Ada or Auntie Ida to most of the kids, and when I talk to them, it's all the kids always want to be with me. I go to Magic Mountain with 9 kids by myself because I love kids.
Not
so everybody dumps the
did
kids.
Did it catch
up.
On fire? Oh, Six Flags. That's what. Never mind. Sorry.
Oh no, it did it?
Some burned down, like Six Flags. Up.
Did it burn down?
One of the rides.
Which one?
Six Flags.
Was it Six?
Magic Mountain. Six Flags. I don't know. I don't want to spread rumors. False information.
All we know is that one
people
of these
out of
places
Disneyland
burned.
Is on fire.
Wait, no. Isn't Magic Mountain Six Flags?
Maybe it is. They're one. Okay.
All right, so yeah, Magic Mountain. Let's just go with that one.
The old wooden roller coaster like caught on fire like
last weekend. They felt like that was kind of like they did that on purpose.
It was time.
They did it on purpose.
The
Colossus. Because it caught on fire from the top.
Really?
Yeah, and then it burned.
Oh, yeah.
How do you catch on fire?
It's like a bunch of like Italian guys at the bottom like, I don't know what happened. I see nothing, but the insurance money is going to be good.
It was a wiring problem.
It was all
rickety, too. When you get on it, because I mean, I've been on it so much, you could hear. I was like, I don't know if I should be doing this.
There's something in Cleveland that are like that. That are just like, you should have shut these down about 20 years ago.
Yeah,
you have bigger roller coasters.
I thought that was the Knott Berry Farm one.
Well, they should have shut Cleveland down like 20 years ago.
Hey,
I'm joking.
Hey,
no, I used to tell you,
getting better.
I'm going there in a couple of weeks to do the Funny Bone, but I have a joke, you know.
Are you going to Cleveland or Cincinnati, Columbus?
I'm going to Cleveland first, and then I'm going to Columbus at the end of October. But the funny thing is that I didn't put it on my, Dayton a couple of weeks ago,
right? Okay, they got a Funny Bone down there.
So Ohio is the state that has the most missing women in all of the country.
Didn't know that before today.
Yeah, and then.
I haven't lived there in 5 years, Nikki, all right?
So there are three serial killers that were black in Ohio, right? So first of all, never in the history of serial killers, there's a black one. And then three pop up in Ohio. But then there's this one who lived with his girlfriend and he murdered all these women and he was burying them in the back. And so my sick twisted self, I go on stage and I'm like, damn, do you know how that girlfriend must feel if she wasn't hot enough to get strangled? I was like, damn, everybody but not me? Like, golly, she was not, he didn't even try to kill her. Not even tried to kill her. That's what you're talking about, a blow to your self-esteem.
Yeah, geez. So what football team did he play for? Did you say?
Bengals.
Oh, okay.
We got a lot more people getting in trouble down in Cincinnati here. All right, so you were on this last season of Last Comic Standing, right? Yeah,
I forgot there was a camera there. Yeah, it was. Oh, water.
You got pretty far along in it, too, right?
Yeah. It made it to the top 10.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was cool.
He was awesome in it. I watched the whole season. I thought you killed it, girl. I really, really was rooting for you all the way.
Thank you. I had a lot of people that were, it was interesting. I had fun, and my life has changed because of it. I won't deny that, and it was a good experience. I wasn't really good with the whole challenge thing, like the going up against the other comics.
The head-to-head.
Not the head-to-head was fine for me. It was getting to the head-to-head because, we went through all of this stuff. Like, you got to go in this booth and say who you're funnier than and, you got to turn on everybody, and that was the hard part for me. Like,
They got to have a dramatic aspect to it you were saying, the head-to-head is just you doing what you
stand-up.
Do.
Stand-up. Yeah. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so for me, I kind of was glad when I went because I didn't want to get deeper into that. Like, I went far enough for it to make an impact in my career, but I didn't go that deep where I'm going at it with Lachlan. Lachlan Patterson is my friend. Like, it was just weird to have to go through all of that. I didn't want to do all of that.
I think I actually went to a taping with him.
With Lachlan?
At the Comedy Store, because one of my friends is one of those, like, people that are like, here, you're a pretty girl. You get to sit in the audience and bring someone with you.
So was that a head-to-head for him?
Yeah, it was against some guy from Brooklyn, I think.
Yeah, he did. It was DC Benny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just remember they had him go four times, like, to tell him, like, because they go, we didn't get the shot in that one. I'm like, and they're like, he's so pissed. I'm like, why do you keep?
It's brutal because it's a TV show.
Yeah, it's like, don't you understand? No, we need to get a shot again. Like, no.
Well, and Lachlan's fought his way tooth and nail through, his comedic career. He's really stuck it out. I've heard so many stories about everything he's done on his grind because he used to live with my boyfriend. They were roommates when they were doing comedy early on.
He was a bartender at the Comedy Union.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, he started off as a bartender and then, begging for a shot.
Oh, that's cool. That's nice. They usually put
home at one point to try to, rebuild the funds before he came back here. So he's really fought his way through.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you, and I'll go on record to say, I really feel that Lachlan was probably one of the top joke writers on the season of Last Comic Standing, and
had for sure.
The best jokes. And, you know, he earned his spot there, and I was very happy to see him go that far. I'm the one that did stand up the least of all of the top 10. They've all been doing stand up at least twice as long as I have. So I was really humbled and just grateful to be in that company. But I feel like Lachlan is just, you know, Lachlan is just a really good joke writer, and I really want to see him do well. I love that guy.
Oh yeah, he was funny.
In comparison to you and Lachlan, though, I think it's great because there are so many prominent white comedians out there, and for Lachlan to make a stance, you know, and make it that far among so many ethnicities, and just really, you know, do his thing and not have to shy away from his comedy or his style. And same with you, you know, being a woman, especially of color too, of Latin descent, and really putting your foot down and doing your thing and really showing women we are allowed to do this too. It's very inspiring.
Well, I appreciate that. It was really hard for me because I'm not the Latin comic that they expected. You know, like, I didn't have jokes about write-up, Sharpies, and eyebrows. So I'm doing these jokes about slavery and, you know, homeless and gay people, and, you know, not voting for gay people because I don't want a man to walk down the aisle before me. You know, like, I really pushed the envelope. And so, the expectation of what I was going to do was completely different, especially because of the way that I was dressed. They thought I was just going to go and, the infamous yellow dress. So it was really funny because the expectation of what I was going to do versus what I did, I really was probably one of the edgier comics that me and Joe Maki, and there was a few of us that just went there where everybody else was like, da da da. And it was just, it was really funny because I was the only Latin woman out of all the entire season, out of 5,000 comedians, the only Latin woman that they picked. They couldn't find another one.
Which is awesome, though. You don't have to be the stereotype. I mean, I've been doing comedy 10 years, and it is hard doing shows in East LA when they expect you to go there and talk Spanish and get all crazy, and I don't. I talk about my family and life in general, and like you said, I don't talk about, you know, janitors and Sharpies and whatever else that they expect you to. But I just love your style of comedy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I received that from you, and I didn't want to be another female comic. I wanted to be a comic that happened to be a female. And if I had a dress on, I had a dress on. But the jokes spoke for themselves. And I just really didn't want to just be another Latin person on television.
Check your phone thing is a hilarious joke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't care. I will check your text messages.
It's the truth. And, you know, and that was not me just telling a joke. That's just really who I am. I'm paranoid now when I date. And if a guy's like we're on a date and a guy checks his phone, like, who's calling you?
He goes to the bathroom. Say, go ahead and leave it on.
Let me get my phone. Because I know what my ex-boyfriend used to carry on most of his relationships in the bathroom when we would go out. That's what he would go is to call the other girl he was cheating on me with.
No, I went out with a chick a couple weeks ago. She was on her phone half the time. She was just like, no, I'm just texting my friend. I go, all right, well, then if you want to fucking text your friend. And then she's like, why aren't we going out again? I go, because you're on your phone the whole time we went out last time.
Well, here's one thing I can say about Dave. In the years that we've worked together and even doing this show, the one thing I will say about Dave is he is not shy at all about giving you his phone code. If he needs you to do something with his phone, he'll let you hold his phone. He doesn't care. He's not hiding anything.
I like that.
Ladies, Dave's a good guy, ladies. If you're listening, he's a good one to date because he doesn't hide anything.
No, like, I hide enough.
Put your freaking phone down. Phone.
He's like, he's smiling right now because he's like, that's just the phone I let girls use. He's like, I got a burner. I got a burner cell.
I'm on four. No one checks that guy.
The comic retweets this. And I'm like, why is this on my timeline?
Oh, my God.
And it's...
Well, I've had boyfriends that, like, want to show you something on your phone. You're like, okay, let me see it. And they're like, no, here, you look with your eyes, not with your hands.
Jesus.
Because they don't want you to touch their phone. They think you're going to catch something or see something. But it's like, then you probably shouldn't trust them to begin with.
This is a true statement, lady parts. I don't know why I call people that anymore. I just started doing it, like, a couple months ago. I'm going to introduce my one friend now as Kara Lady Parts Brown, and I have no idea why. All right, we have one challenge left, and it's this one. It's a tiebreaker. Who can dress and undress a baby faster? Other way around, though. Undress and then dress the baby.
Okay.
Do you think you can do that?
You would do this in a fire emergency.
Yeah. I think I changed my kid 3 times today.
All right, who wants to go first?
He can go first.
The real, so the real challenge.
He's like, I'll give him a running start.
I feel like the real challenge.
I'm just trying to stay away from the baby as long as possible.
I don't blame you at all.
I feel like the real challenge today is not getting heat stroke in the studio. It's 1,000 degrees in here right now.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
now,
it was,
now you know why I'm not there right now with a fever. I would die. You guys would have to have a
chance. Oh, you'd be sweating it out. It's like a sweat lodge in here.
All right, let me know.
I'm
going to
start
ready?
Seeing visions and stuff. This is what we're. This is what I'm putting.
Yeah, take them off and put it on.
Hang on. Take this purple thing off?
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on. Can I just so you know, there's a bottle of milk tethered. Tethered.
You can rip it. You can rip her off.
To the baby's arm.
All right, you ready?
I can't
be
good.
Oh, my
God. All right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right.
You're about to choke out the baby.
I got to. You didn't say I had to be gentle.
Are you watching, Nikki?
Yes, I hope Tyler's wife ain't watching.
Uh-oh. The little bones are soft, so you can be a little bit rougher than you think you could be with a baby because they just bounce back. That'll be all right.
I love that he had to stand up.
I got to stand up.
Because this is my changing position, well, all right?
I'm not used to girls. This is a girl.
I don't think that baby can stand up.
Its thumb is stuck in the sleeve.
Come on, baby. Work time on that.
Work with me. Oh, this is. Hang on. It was so shut.
Are you timing this?
No. Oh yeah. Is it almost a minute right now?
To time
he
this.
Killed the baby. He the killed.
It doesn't really matter if the baby's dead that you changed it.
Oh my god. Little HO baby.
Oh my gosh. I think I'm failing at this.
almost there.
It's wiggling around. It's alive. Is this thing alive? I just got the arm instead. All right. This is harder because it's floppy. It's floppy.
It's floppy. All right, we got it.
No, fix that arm.
Dang it.
Yeah, Tyler, are you keeping the head secure? I'm scared for this baby.
No, you didn't say I had to keep it. You just said I had to.
You said he had to change it.
Yeah.
Man, I knew I should have made you guys swaddle a baby.
Oh, my God.
All right, you got a minute and a half.
Yes, he did
it. Oh, my God, that took way too long. All right. I'm really sweating right now.
Now, yeah. You ready, Ada?
Yeah.
I'm going to drink this victory milk.
So are you going to tether your baby's milk on his arm now, Tyler?
4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, you can just be all gentle.
Ada's
going
to do it with one hand behind her back.
Jesus, head on the microphone. That's what that was for listeners.
You were all, like, worried about things. You're like, oh, crap. She's being gentle. I think she's gotten a lot farther than you have.
So you know where I went wrong? She's being calm and smooth. I got a little frantic.
She's going to tell the birds and the bees story while she's doing the changing. Just kidding.
Okay, there you go.
He goes, there you go.
30 seconds.
You just gave me
Tyler, you just gave me
the same look that my wife gives me when I bring my son out. She'll be like, those clothes don't match. And I'm like, he's got clothes on. That's what's important. He's got clothes on. The diaper's dry, and he's got pants on.
I think these skills
not a nudist.
Come with a vagina.
Now,
Nikki, would you like to announce the winner then?
I think it's Ada.
There we go. Ada Rodriguez won the Battle of the Baby Makers.
Thank you.
As well you should.
Tyler, in your own
girls
defense,
gone wild in the future.
When we have Tyler back for the rematch next year, maybe they'll have another one and you can stand toe-to-toe.
I hope so. I hope I get better at this. I'm going to just give this baby a little hug right now because I felt like
I was a little rough with it. Just a little bit.
It's okay,
Tyler,
baby.
I'm sure great. I always see Tyler's pictures on his Facebook and his Instagram. He loves taking pictures of his kids' feet. His feet is really cute.
Aw, I like that.
Yeah, I got the little.
It's so cute. They had one lounge by the pool where it was like Tyler's legs laid out in a lounge chair and his baby's legs in front of his. It was cute.
Oh, I think that was my wife's legs. I don't wear red toenail polish.
You're missing out. It makes life a lot better. All right, so you've got a comedy CD out called Car Companion, right?
Carpool Companion.
Carpool Companion, sorry.
$5 yep. Carpool Companion.
And where can you find that at?
Anywhere, iTunes, Amazon.com. You can get a hard copy disc if you want at Uproar CD.
Oh, nice.
I think uppercomedycd.com.
Yeah. You got any upcoming shows?
I got a bunch of college gigs coming up. Those aren't really generally open to the public, but I'm doing Cal Poly Pomona on Monday. Then I'm flying out to Pennsylvania to do Shippensburg University next week.
Nice.
As well.
Oh, nice.
And I'm trying to think of what I got, like club dates that I got. Look, I'm going to be at, I think October 31st, November 2nd, or 1st, I'm going to be at Surf City Comedy Club in Huntington Beach. That's like the closest thing if we have local listeners.
Nice.
All right, sounds good. And for you?
Well, I'm supposed to pump that on Saturday or Sunday, the 28th of September. You can catch me on PBS, yeah, where Sesame Street is, hosting the Imagen Awards, which I hosted, which is like the Latin Golden Globes, but it is in English. And I'm also doing some two college gigs, or my next two gigs, but then I will be at the Cleveland Improv with Tommy Davidson the week of the 26th.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And then you can catch me at the Parlor in Seattle the weekend of the 23rd and the Columbus Funny Bone on the 30th. So go to my website. That's where my jobs are. And that way I won't confuse you or give you the wrong information. FunnyAIDA.com. And that's my Twitter and my Instagram. And don't tweet me scriptures. I don't want those in my own Bible.
Thank you guys very much for joining us for Battle of the Baby Makers. I've been Dave Swan. Nikki has been on the phone. Thank you guys very much for our guests. We'll put up their websites. You can catch them later. And we're out.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.